So, John tells us in his gospel that on that first Easter Sunday morning, the stone to Jesus' tomb had been rolled away, and Jesus' body was not there. But then Mary Magdalene saw Jesus alive, and she went and told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord!" And that same night, that Easter Sunday night, the disciples were together. They had the doors locked because they were fearful of the Jews, that they might come and arrest them and kill them, as they had done with Jesus. But Jesus came, and he stood among them. Wow. And he said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands, which bore the nail marks of the cross. And he showed them his side, which had been pierced by a spear. And John tells us in his gospel that when the disciples saw the Lord, they were overjoyed. What amazing news. Christ has risen, and the disciples have seen him. Praise be to God. It's something worth singing about, isn't it? So let's do that now. Let's sing with joy that Jesus has risen from the grave. We're going to sing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." If you're able to, please do stand. There are some actions at the chorus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. If you're able to stand, please do so. If you're able to do the actions, please do so. Don't leave me on my own. Let's stand. Let's sing together with great joy. My God is all I need. If Jesus has risen from the dead, then surely there's nothing else that we need, is there? Than Jesus. He is alive. He is strong. He is stronger than death and sin. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you for the wonderful news that Jesus' tomb was found empty on that Easter Sunday morning, and that the stone was rolled away, and that Jesus was seen by Mary and the disciples. We thank you for their eyewitness testimony, which has been passed on to us, so that we too may know that Jesus has risen from the dead. Help us and be with us in our time together this morning, so that we might hear your word, so that we might understand in our hearts how wonderful and how important it is that Jesus has risen. And help us to put our trust in him, to believe in Jesus, so that we too may have life in his name. Amen. Amen. Much like what we do in our assemblies at Natland, we're going to have a quiz, and we're going to split into two teams. So we'll have Team A, Team B, and in this quiz you're going to see some pictures, and your job as a team is to tell me who is missing from these pictures. Okay, so we'll start with Team A. Here's the first one. Who's missing? This is not a quite simple one to start with. Yes. Queen Catherine, yeah. Princess, yeah. Catherine, well done. Okay. Hannah, where are you? Yeah, keep the scores, yeah? 1-0 to Team A. Right, Team B. This one's for Paul, really, but yeah. Stan Laurel, well done. Another point over here. All right, Team A, who's missing? Do we know? Dave? Bobby Moore? Is that what you were going to say? Yeah? It is Bobby Moore. Well done. Point over here. All right. Team B, who's missing? Do you know? George. Well done. Fantastic. George from Peppa Pig. Team A, who's missing? Do you know, Isaiah? Are you sure? Let's see. It is Sky, well done, from the Paw Patrol. These are tough, these, aren't they? Team B, who's missing? Ringo. Ringo Starr, behind the star. It is. Well done. Team A, who's missing here? Winter, do you know? The character. Who's missing? Do you know? It's not Captain Hook. No, do you know? Well, that's Marv, isn't it? That's Marv. So who's his accomplice? Do we know? I might have to hand it over to the team if you don't know. You don't know? Right. Team B, do you know who this is? It's Harry. Well done. Point over here. Harry and Marv, home alone. With this team now. Who's missing? You're saying Donatello? Let me check my notes. It is Donatello. Well done. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Team A? Who's missing? Yes, Winter?
Moana.
Moana. Is it? It is Moana. Okay. Last question, Team B. Nice, easy one for you. From Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Who's missing? Who's the girl that's missing? Who said that? Baruch Salt, is it? It is. Points over here. What are the scores, Han? Have you kept the scores?
Team A, 4 million points.
4 million points, not bad.
Team B, 5 million points.
5 million points. Team B, you're the winners. Team A, you're washing the cups today. Great. Jesus appeared to his disciples on that first Easter Sunday evening. But you know what? Somebody was missing. Somebody was missing when Jesus appeared to his disciples that Easter Sunday evening. Now, as Erica comes to read from John's Gospel to us, I want you to listen out to who was missing that Sunday evening. Thank you, Erica.
So we're reading from John's Gospel, which is on page 1089 in the Bibles, chapter 20. So page 1089 in the Church Bibles. John chapter 20, verse 24 onwards. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Erica. So, who was missing that first evening when Jesus appeared to his disciples? Who was missing?
Thomas.
It was Thomas, yes. Have a look at verse 24. It says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." Now remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, didn't he? Judas had betrayed Jesus and left already, and Thomas wasn't there. So 12 minus 1 is 10. So we're assuming that 10 disciples saw Jesus. And they come to Thomas and they tell him, "We have seen the Lord." How does Thomas react? Does he believe them or not?
No,
he does not believe them. He said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, the name Thomas or Didymus means twin. So we're going to be looking out for some twins in the text that Erica read to us. And here's the first twin that we see in the text. Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came, and so he will not believe. Thomas is not seeing, and he is not believing. Do you think Thomas is right that he is not believing because he is not seeing? Is he right to do that? Well, do you know what? Sometimes it is okay to doubt, isn't it? Doubt's not always a bad thing. But here in this case, in Thomas's case, I think that his doubting is not a good thing. Now, when Thomas heard from the other disciples that Jesus had risen, that they'd seen the Lord, he should have believed them. Why? Because the evidence was stacked up. It was so strong that Jesus had risen. Now, this wasn't some kind of April Fool's joke. 10 people had seen Jesus alive. And they weren't just any people, were they? They were Jesus' disciples. And Thomas knew them. He had spent 3 years with them. So he should have believed their testimony. But instead, he chooses not to believe. He was not there. He will not believe. And he wants more proof. And you know, because Jesus is so good, he is going to give Thomas that proof. So verse 26 says, "A week later, his disciples were in the house again." So this is the next Sunday, and this time Thomas was with them. And what happens is almost a repeat of the previous Sunday. The doors were locked, Jesus comes in and stands among them, and he says, "Peace be with you." So by doing this whole thing again, Jesus is being very kind, he's being very gentle, he's being very gracious towards Thomas. On that first Sunday, Jesus showed his disciples his hands and his side. On this second Sunday, he's showing Thomas his hands and his side. Jesus is caring for this individual. He is caring for Thomas. A picture will come up on the screen now. Who can tell me what this, what film this scene is from? Anybody know? Samuel? It is Mary Poppins, one of my favourite musicals. Mary Poppins, so George Banks, who's pictured there, his children wrote a letter about what kind of nanny they would like to take care of them, one that would meet all their needs. And George Banks thinks that this letter is a load of nonsense, so he scrunches it all up and he throws it into the fireplace. But then the very next day, Mary Poppins, she puts the letter back together again, and she turns up with it. She is the nanny who is going to meet the children's needs. Now, it's a bit like this with Thomas. Remember what Thomas said? He said, "Unless I put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." But then Jesus comes and he says, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side." It's as if Thomas wrote down what he said, scrunched it up, threw it into the fireplace, and then Jesus comes with that same piece of paper, and he comes to meet Thomas's need perfectly. So Jesus knew Thomas's doubt, and he came to help Thomas overcome that doubt. How does Jesus do that? Well, Jesus gives Thomas twin commands. This is our next twin in the text. The twin commands are to see and to believe. To see and to believe. Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side. This is what Jesus says. Now, the text doesn't tell us if Thomas actually did touch Jesus' hands or side, but one thing he did do is he saw. He saw with his eyes the risen Lord Jesus, bearing the wounds of the cross. And you know, in ancient Greek, there are lots of different words that can be used for the word see. But Jesus uses the word eidon, which also means to understand. So it's a bit like when somebody gives you a very difficult fractions question to do, and you don't understand it, and they explain it to you, and you say, ah, yeah, I see. So Jesus is commanding Thomas not just to look at his wounds, but to understand, to see who Jesus really is and what he has done. And you know, this kind of seeing as well links to believing. Jesus commands Thomas to see and to believe. But what does it mean to believe? That's a good question. It's a question that John Payton wrestled with. John Payton, his picture will come up on the screen. He was a Scottish Christian missionary, and he went to the New Hebrides, which are islands in the Pacific Ocean, and he went there to tell people about Jesus. And as he was translating the Gospel of John, he was really struggling to translate this word believe, because the local people had no word in their language for believe, believe it or not. They were cannibals. Nobody trusted anybody. So the word wasn't even in their thinking, let alone their vocabulary. But one day, John Payton was sitting on his chair, and he was leaning back. I need to be careful that I don't have an accident here. He was leaning back like this. And then he said to one of the natives, excuse me, what am I doing here? And the native said, well, you're leaning with all your weight on the chair. You're leaning with all your weight on the chair. And that was a light bulb moment for John Payton. He realized this is a great way of explaining to the locals what belief in Jesus means. It means to lean your whole weight on Jesus, right? To depend entirely on him. And so when Thomas sees Jesus and understands that he is the risen Lord, the right response is belief. It's faith in Jesus, to lean his entire life on Jesus. And that's what he does. In verse 28, we find another twin. There are twin mys. Thomas says, doesn't he? My Lord and my God. This statement takes us right back to the start of John's Gospel. In chapter 1, verse 23, John the Baptist is being asked if he is the Christ. And he says, no, I am not the Christ. I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And the Lord that John the Baptist is talking about is Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who will take away his people's sins. So when Thomas sees the nail marks in Jesus' hands and the wound to his side, he sees and he understands that Jesus is the one who saves us from all our sins because he was punished for them on the cross. But when Thomas saw Jesus, he also saw God himself. So the very first verse in John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has stepped down into humanity to save humanity. That's how much God loves us. And because he is God, he is powerful enough to do it. So in Jesus, Thomas sees the Lord and he sees God. But you know, that's not all. That's not all. Do you recognize this fellow on the screen? Who is this? Anybody know? Martin Luther, thank you. Yeah, Martin Luther, he was a big player in the Reformation 500 years ago. And he said this, "The heart of the gospel lies in its personal pronouns." All right. So this morning we've had a math lesson already. Now time for a quick English lesson. Who can tell me what is a personal pronoun? Can somebody give me an example of a personal pronoun? Yeah. Yeah. What kind of noun? What does it do? Anybody know? Who can help us out here? Who can give me an example? What? Your, yeah. Yeah, so it's a word like I or he or she or they. Yeah, and it makes an object personal to that person, okay? So what Martin Luther is saying here is this, that the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for sin and has risen from the dead, is of absolutely no use to us unless we believe it personally. Okay? We've got to believe it personally. And that's what Thomas does, because he is now calling Jesus my Lord and my God. Not just Lord and God, but my Lord and my God. Do you know, Thomas recognizes that he needs a Savior for the sins that he has done. For all the times he has said no to God in his heart, for all the times that he has failed to trust and obey God. And now he knows and he believes that Jesus came to die for him, to save him and to give him life. So Thomas is trusting Jesus personally. He is following Jesus. He is loving Jesus. I think it's time that we sing a song. So let's do that. And we're going to sing about the risen Lord Jesus, whose wounds he still bears on his hands and in his side for his people. And the chorus to this song, Man of Sorrows, has got some very important pronouns, okay? So listen out for them. The chorus says, "Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee."
Thank you.
What if Jesus came into our church meeting this morning, came through the door, and he stood among us, and he showed us his hands, the nail marks, and his side? Wouldn't that be good? Would it be good? Well, not according to Jesus. Have a look at what he says in verse 29. Jesus tells Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Don't know if you've seen this film before. Anybody seen this film? From the 1990s? It's a classic. Have you seen it? Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. They are twins, but they are not identical. One is big and strong, and the other is small and weak. Now, here in this verse that we've just read, verse 29... Jesus is talking about two types of believing. But unlike all the other twins that we've seen in our text today, this twin is not at all identical. One is strong and the other is weak. Okay? So there is a believing, there is a type of faith because of seeing Jesus physically. But there is a better, there is a stronger type of believing. And it's the believing without seeing Jesus physically. Why is that? Why is that the stronger faith? Well, the first song that we sung together this morning gave us the answer. It said, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high." We would not be able to lift Jesus' name on high if he were not in the sky, in the heavens. Why not? Because when Jesus ascended into the sky, he sent the Holy Spirit down. All right? The Holy Spirit is a person of the triune God, and he helps us to do something very, very important. The Holy Spirit helps us to open up our eyes so that we can see and understand who Jesus is and how much we need him. Now, I've explained to our young people recently that the Holy Spirit is a little bit like super glue. If Jesus is going to be my Lord and my Savior and my God, then he needs to be, I need to be trusting in him personally to do that, okay? And so what the Holy Spirit helps us to do is he softens our hearts and he bonds us together to Jesus. So this is us, the Holy Spirit, he bonds us together to Jesus by faith forever, never ever to be separated. So without the Holy Spirit, our faith in Jesus is going to be weak. When we're tested, when we're tempted, we'll fall away from Jesus. So we need the superglue of the Holy Spirit to keep us in Jesus. And that actually is the difference between the disciples and Thomas in the text that we've read. If you look up to verse 22... when Jesus met with the 10 disciples originally, he breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. They are believing because the Holy Spirit is at work in their hearts. We're going to watch a very short video now about signs, so enjoy. There are signs everywhere we look. Road signs tell us where we need to go. The clouds are a sign that tell us if we should be getting the barbecue out or not. There are hazard signs that warn us of dangers. Shops and restaurants have signs that help lure us in. Your body gives you signs that you are tired or unwell. Information signs tell you about what's going on. People use sign language to communicate when they can't hear very well. All these signs help us navigate life and make decisions. There are many signs as well in John's Gospel. Signs that point to who Jesus is and what he has done. In fact, John says that Jesus did lots of other signs, so many that John couldn't possibly have written about them all. If he had, the world would be full of books. Imagine that. And there still wouldn't be room. So rather than fill the world with books, John has written about just some of the things that Jesus did that show us that he is Lord and God. These have been written for you, for your benefit. They are eyewitness statements, historical accounts. John testifies to them and says his testimony is true. Listen to what some of the eyewitnesses say about Jesus. John the Baptist said,
"I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one."
Nathanael said,
"Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel."
The Samaritans said,
"We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world."
The healed blind man said,
"If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
Martha said,
"I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
The disciples said,
"This makes us believe that you came from God."
And Thomas said,
"My Lord and my God."
John invites us to look at the signs, to see how they point to Jesus, so that we too may lean our whole weight on Jesus and believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might have life in his name.
Sometimes people fear missing out on things, don't they? Maybe you're a massive Oasis fan and, you know, last summer you really wanted concert tickets but you couldn't get them because they were all snapped up straight away. Or maybe you have looked on social media recently and you've seen that some of your friends have met up without you. Or maybe you've just missed out on a special offer. It happened to me recently. I was doing some decorating at home. I noticed that B&Q had a 3-for-2 offer on paint. I went the next day to buy it, and the offer had finished that night, the night before. Gutting. Some of these things can be quite trivial, can't they? But what is it that John doesn't want us to miss out on? Well, the answer is Jesus. He doesn't want us to miss out on Jesus. You can miss out on your Oasis tickets, you can miss out on your social events, you can miss out on your Dulux paint, but missing out on Jesus is the worst thing that you can miss out on. That's because without Jesus, there is no eternal life. Our sins keep us apart from God. And this is really, really sad, to live without knowing your Creator. That is not what we were made to do. But if you have Jesus, you have life. That's what John tells us. And life doesn't just mean to live forever. In John's gospel, eternal life means to know God forever. And to be known by God forever. It is a forever relationship with God. A bond that will never, ever, ever break. That's brilliant, isn't it? That's the best thing. And how is it that we get into this relationship? And how is it that we stay in this relationship with God? Well, it's by believing in Jesus. The historical eyewitness accounts in the Gospels, written by the apostles under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they help us to do that. Because the gospel is real. Jesus is real. It's historical. But Jesus as well also gives us, very generously, the Holy Spirit to those who come to him. So that we may be bonded to Jesus forever like superglue. Let me lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you that Thomas didn't miss out. Because he came to believe that Jesus is his Lord and his God. And by doing so, he had life in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, not to miss out on that. Perhaps we, like Thomas, are struggling to believe. Perhaps we're going through a hard time. Perhaps doubt has started to creep in. Lord, please help us to overcome our unbelief. And we thank you that Life in Jesus' name is a sure thing. Not because we are strong, not because our faith is strong, but because Jesus is strong. He is so strong and so mighty. There is nothing that he cannot do. He has risen from the dead, and he is now seated on the heavenly throne, which means that he can and he will help us. And he is with us by his Spirit. And his wounds constantly remind us that he loves us so dearly. And one day, Lord, we will see him face to face and our joy will be complete. But until then, help us that we may know how blessed we are to believe and follow Jesus. Amen.